A reading from the book of Revelation. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." "April showers bring forth May flowers" was one of our chants as children, part of a rhyme to accompany the beat of the skipping rope against the cracked pavements of Dublin 12. Or perhaps it was just a saying we threw at each other now and then to show that we were finding our bearings in our part of the world, understanding that we were in the temperate zone rather than the tropical zone and all that. When the winter is past, we usually have to add March showers and February showers and January showers and all the other showers that have fallen since last October. The month of May, the height of springtime, has attracted more attention than most of the months of the year. It is a time of extraordinary fertility after the death of winter. New life appears through what feels like a kind of miracle. From nowhere, so it seems, fresh young green sprouts on bushes and trees. May's darling buds are suddenly everywhere. The cherry blossom explodes to scatter its pink snowflakes along the streets. Insects reappear and the birds turn their minds to home building and singing. May has long been regarded in the church as Mary's special month. May and flowers, flowers and Mary, seems to be one link between the Mother of Jesus and this month of the year. For the Christian church, she is the most fragrant of God's creatures and is given biblical names like Rose of Sharon and Lily of the Valley. It was she, after all, who gave birth to Jesus, the noble flower of Judah, who is the source of all life and the source of all renewed life. Mary is identified in the church with wisdom, or Sophia, who describes herself in Sirach chapter 24 as a cedar grown tall on Lebanon, as a cypress on Mount Hermon, as a palm in Engedi. Engedi is a delightful pocket of life on the shores of an otherwise dead sea. She describes herself as a rose bush of Jericho. The wisdom of the Lord, we read, is like an olive, like a plane tree, like the acacia, like a vine putting out graceful shoots. Imagine all those trees and shrubs growing together, cedars and cypresses, palm trees and rose bushes, olives, planes and acacias and vines, growing together, intertwined, the rich fragrance of their scent, their flowers, their fruits. Fruitfulness then of May and of Mary, fruitfulness of springtime and of Easter time. But May and Maid, Maid and Mary is another link between Mary and the month we are in. The fruitfulness of May seems like a kind of virginal fruitfulness. Where has all this new life come from? The fresh green, the young lambs, the newborn chicks, they represent a kind of innocence and purity, something unspoilt and as yet unsoiled. At Mass each day we address Mary as the Virgin Mother of God. Or is it the Virgin Mother of God? Either way, she has been thought of as the Virgin Mother, a paradox which points to the creative power of God, who brings things into being without loss, without need, without violence. Every culture has its thoughts and feelings about virginity, and ours is no exception. Feminist criticisms of male ways of thinking about women oblige us to think again about our images of Mary and the implications we draw from them. But the scriptures themselves invite us to think of her in this way, because they invite us to think of the church, God's people, in this way. So the second reading at Mass today speaks of the church coming down from God out of heaven, as beautiful as a bride all dressed for her husband. This church is the community of believers who have been through the great persecution. The woman pursued by the devil in Revelation chapter 12 symbolizes this community. And for us, this is also Mary, the first among believers, the mother of the church. The devil, enraged at her rescue, devotes the short time he has left to harassing and persecuting her children. This may seem a bit, well, apocalyptic. The important point for now is this, that the community of believers who make up the church is a community of the battered and tattered and spoilt and soiled. Paul and Barnabas remind their listeners in today's first reading that we all have to experience many hardships before we enter the kingdom of God. May flowers only come after April showers. The resurrection comes after the crucifixion. What shines through in us is not the innocence of lamb or nestling, but the power of God to create and to recreate. Now I am making the whole of creation new, God says through the seer of the Apocalypse. What seems paradoxical to us is not so for God. Sin will be no more. Death gives way to life. The Virgin is also a mother. The church, the same church which some believe to be beyond redemption, is the ark of redemption for a fallen world. The community that experiences many hardships and has grown old and ill under their weight is journeying towards a promised land where everyone is a firstborn son.